Merry Christmas. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for worship. My name is Farrah Petsky, and I serve as the youth pastor here at Woodlawn, and I am delighted and honored to be able to preach here tonight. Christmas Eve, the service here is one of my favorite things all year that we do, and so I'm excited to be here, and I hope that you are excited as well.
Amen.
So, to get started tonight, I feel like I need a chance to get to know you. We have some new faces tonight, and so I just want to know a little bit about you and your Christmas tradition. So, if you are a colored light person, you have colored lights in your house, raise your hand, make some noise. We're the colored light people. Okay, what about the white lights? Okay, wow, white lights over here. So, in our house, we have white lights on our tree, but I love going outside and seeing our neighbors who have colored lights outside. It's beautiful to me. Now, what about real tree people? We're the real tree people. Just a few. And the fake tree people? Yeah, okay. So we are fake tree people simply because we put our tree up November 1st. So to make it all the way until tomorrow, it has to be fake, okay? I love the smell of a real Christmas tree, but I don't think I can take care of it for that long, and I would just be scared it's going to die. Now, last question, and then we'll get into it tonight. Is anybody going to open a present tonight? Okay. And then everyone else on Christmas Day? Okay. Wow. All right, so our tradition in our house, we open one present tonight. And so on Black Friday, we go shopping, we buy Christmas pajamas, we wrap them for each other, and then tonight we go home, we open them, and we take a picture by our Christmas tree. Now, the beauty of this is that we bought these weeks ago, so I can't remember what pajamas I have tonight, so it will be a complete surprise to me too. So I'm excited about that. Well, hey, tonight we're going to be talking about an invitation. Talking about an invitation. And so I can remember on August 7th of 2021, I received an invitation to go to Liza's Kitchen. Now, in April of 2021, when I was interviewing here at Woodlawn, they took me to Liza's Kitchen to have lunch. It is now one of my favorite places to eat here. I love it. I love a good sandwich. And so that is like my place. And so someone invited me to go to Liza's Kitchen at 1 o'clock on August 7th of 2021. And so after eating there, enjoying a good meal, we walked on the beach and had a great day. Now, what I didn't realize was where an invitation might lead me. So the invitation to go to Liza's Kitchen is with my now husband. And so you never know where an invitation is going to lead you. Likewise, in John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus. And as Andrew and Peter are hanging out with John, John says the same thing, "Look, the Lamb of God." And so Peter and Andrew begin to follow Jesus, and they ask him a really important question, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus' response is interesting. He says, "Come and see." Come and see. You see, this is an invitation. Jesus could have just said, "It's over there. It's down there on the right." But instead, he says, "Come and see for yourself." He's inviting them to come, to be a part of what Jesus is doing, to know who Jesus personally is. And so we know the end of the story. Peter and Andrew, they stay with Jesus, and it's Peter who runs to the empty tomb to see where Jesus laid and to know that Jesus really is the resurrected Christ. And so tonight, I want to take you on a journey to come and to see what Christmas is all about. You know, we've probably heard the Christmas story 1,000 times, or maybe you haven't. And sometimes I think we can just, oh yeah, we know everything that happens. We get it. We see pictures of it. We've seen it all on TV. We know. But tonight, I'm inviting you to come and to see for yourself. I want us to start at the beginning to see what we're really invited to. And if we don't find ourselves in this story tonight, we're going to miss what God has for us. And so as you hear this story, I want you to think about where you fit in. So Genesis 1:1, God creates the heavens and the earth. Yeah, we're starting at the very beginning. Okay, I will let you out before 6 o'clock, or this might be my last Christmas Eve. But so God created the heavens and the earth. And then God continues to create different things. And there's this ascending order of creation, which culminates in day 7 when God rests. But on day 6, God creates mankind. And so we are the closest to God in the order of creation. And as a result of that, we both reflect and represent Christ more so than any other creation. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So no one, nothing else is created in the image of God other than us, other than people. And so God says to Adam, "Hey, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden." There's all these trees, you're free to eat from any of them. But there's one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree you can't eat from, for if you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God gives Adam this command. And then God says it's not good for man to be alone, so he creates Eve. And so there you have Adam and Eve in the garden. Now in Genesis chapter 3, there's this serpent that comes. And the serpent is more crafty than any of the creatures that the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say?" So he's creating doubt what God had said. And Eve, who was not present when God gave the command to Adam, says, yeah, we can eat from the trees, but we can't eat from the tree in the middle. And we can't touch it, or we will die. Well, that's really not the instruction that the Lord said. And so the serpent says, "But if you eat from it, you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." And so what a temptation that was in Eve for God, a central truth, because she forgot that she was already made like God. She's already like God because she's made in his image. And so Eve eats from the tree. She gives some to her husband. He also eats. And in that moment, everything changes. They realize for the first time that they are naked and they're afraid, and so they hide. And the Lord asks them, "Where are you?" Now, we know that God is not clueless. It's not like he lost their pest tracker on them. He asks them this because this is an invitation to be found. And so they explain what happens, and God banishes them from the garden. Now, it's easy to look at that and be like, "That's terrible. Why would God do that?" But what I want to tell you tonight is that is the most loving thing that God could do, because if Adam and Eve ate from the tree of life, they would be forever separated from God. So God banishing them from the garden allows him to enact his redemption plan to bring them back into the garden. And before he sends them out, he clothes them. And he clothes them with garments of skin. And this is the first time that we see that blood is shed to atone for the sins of the world. That's Jesus. Right in the very beginning, we see a picture of Christ. And so things continue to spiral out of control. Now that sin has become a part of the world, things are just not going well. And God's people are now enslaved in Egypt. And so in Exodus, God calls Moses through a burning bush, and he says, "Hey, Moses, you're my chosen instrument to bring my people out of Egypt and into the promised land." And Moses says, "Nope, not me. You need to find someone else. I can't do this." But God says, "No, I've intentionally picked you. You're going to go." And so Moses begins to lead the people, and you know how leading people is. It can be challenging at times. And so they began to grumble and complain, and Moses got frustrated. They would always ask for something, Moses would do it, and then they wanted something else. They were never satisfied. And so Moses grew weary of trying to satisfy and meet all their needs. And so one day, as they're going along, the Lord tells Moses to speak to the rock. But Moses, he looks at these people and he calls them rebels out of his frustration, and he strikes the rock. And water still comes from the rock, because God is a God who provides. But God says to Moses, because of this, because you didn't trust me, because you didn't obey me, you won't be the one to lead my people into the promised land. And Moses has this opportunity to see the promised land, but he won't be the one to lead the charge. And instead, God raises up Joshua. Now, Joshua's going to be the one to lead God's people into the promised land. But as Joshua begins to rise up as a leader, God says to Joshua, when you enter into that land, you need to completely destroy all the inhabitants there. Because if you don't, you will end up worshiping their gods. Well, Joshua sees these people and they're convenient because they're great work. They help. They're convenient. And so he keeps them around. And then we get to what I believe is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. This is Joshua 2:10. It says, this is after Joshua died. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Wow. Because of one thing, a whole generation grows up not knowing the goodness of God. So God begins to raise up these judges to bring people back to himself, to help them realize the situation that they're in. So you have Deborah and Samson and Gideon, all these judges who come. But the people don't want a judge. They want a king because they want to be like every other nation. So God gives them what they want. They have this great, handsome, this Paul king, King Saul. But things don't go so well with King Saul. So now they have King David. King David's this young shepherd boy. So David is now in charge of leading the people. And David is the only person in the Bible known as a man after God's own heart. But David made some pretty big mistakes in committing adultery and murdering someone. David missed the mark, but he was quick to turn back to the Lord. And then after David, you have David's son Solomon. Solomon is one of the wisest kings, one of the wealthiest kings that ever lived. But he also had 700 wives. And I don't know how you keep up with all that. That just seems exhausting to me. I don't know. So things don't go so well. And after King Solomon, Israel and Judah split. And so Israel, northern Israel, is defeated by the Assyrians. And later on, about 136 years later, Judah is defeated by the Babylonians. And so when the kings don't work out so well, God calls prophets. And prophets are called to speak a specific message at a specific time to a specific group of people. And you can see in the Bible that there's these major prophets and minor prophets. And the only difference is that the major prophets, the books are longer. That's it. It's not that the minor prophets are insignificant. And so one of the most well-known prophets is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because Lamentations is all his weeping. It's him lamenting and crying over the situation that he's in. Because being a prophet is no easy task. And Jeremiah preaches the same message. Repent and turn back to the Lord. Repent and turn back to the Lord. For 23 years. 23 years. And guess what? Nothing changes. Nothing. And so Jeremiah says, hey, because of this, because you're not listening, you are going to be exiled into a foreign land for 70 years. But then there's this false prophet, Hananiah. He says, no, not 70 years. It's only 2 years. You can make it. And Jeremiah's like, that's not what the Lord has said. 70 years. And so in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah says to the people, build houses, plant gardens, settle down, marry, have children. Because you're really going to be exiled for 70 years. And think about it. For some people, exile is the only thing they'll ever know. That's their whole life. They'll never know anything else. But in Jeremiah 10, Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed, I will come to you and fulfill my promise to bring you back to the land that I've called you to. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. It's in the midst of devastation and exile that God says, I have great plans for you. And so, the pattern that we continue to see here is that God will do anything and everything to bring people back into relationship with him. And so after these prophets, you have these minor prophets. Micah is one of them. Pastor Joe talked about him last week. And Micah prophesies this coming Messiah from a way out far place, a little town, a small clan. And we know that that's Christ. And after the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, there's this 400 years of silence. No new prophets. People aren't hearing things from God. People are wondering, where is God? And isn't that where some of us find ourselves? That we wonder, God, are you listening? God, are you here? God, do you care? But everything changed with the cry of a babe in a stable in Bethlehem. The Christ child is born. And this is what we celebrate. It's not just about a baby, but it's that God make himself nothing by taking on the flesh of a human and making his dwelling among us. And so Jesus is born and he begins to grow. He grows in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. He teaches, he preaches, he performs miracles. And some people follow Jesus because of what he can do. But others follow Christ because they know that he really is the Savior of the world. So Jesus does ministry for 3 years. And after that, he gives up his life to pay for the sins of the world. You see, in the Old Testament, people had to come into the temple. They had to offer sacrifices over and over to atone for their sins. And they would have to find these animals without blemish, perfect, with no spots, all these things. But they would constantly have to come back because nothing was sufficient. But when Christ came, his sacrifice was enough once and for all. So we don't have to go and offer sacrifices anymore. We have a free entry into Christ to know who he is and to follow him. And so after Jesus dies and he ascends into heaven, he says to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. He tells the disciples to wait. And he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so we see the church of Christ is born, and the Lord is adding to their number daily those who are being saved. And amazing things are happening. But then there's persecution. People are trying to kill Christians because they believe that this new way, this Jesus way, is standing in the way of their Jewish customs and religions. And so because of this persecution, the gospel is actually now spread out so more and more people can know who Christ is. And this culminates in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen becomes the first Christian martyr. He's the first person who's killed for his faith. And it's Saul who's standing there, giving approval to this killing. But it's not long after that that Saul is on the road to Damascus. And he sees this bright light, and the bright light blinds him, and he falls to the ground as one of the greatest persecutors of the church. But he encounters Christ, and when he rises as one of the greatest proclaimers of the gospel. And then Paul goes on to write much of the New Testament. He writes to people like Timothy to encourage him not to let anyone look down on you, Timothy, because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and faith and in purity. He writes to churches in Galatia and Corinth and Ephesus to help instruct and to keep these churches strong and focused on Christ. And then we get to Revelation. John, who is the author of the Gospel of John, as well as this book of Revelation, he has this vision. While he's exiled in Patmos, he has this vision in which everything is different. And he says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And guess where this takes place? Back in the garden. God's original tent for the people of God to be thriving in the place of God with unlimited access to the presence of God. You see, this is the gospel. This is the story. Now, I ran through the entire Bible in about 12 minutes, so I'm probably going to go back and read some more details here. But it's a great story. We know that. It's a great story. It's been told for 2,000 plus years. It's going to continue to be told. But so what? So what? I mean, there's lots of good stories out there. There's lots of encouraging, inspiring stories that we could listen to. But so what? You see, we have to ask ourselves, what's the relevance of this story for you and for me? And I told you from the beginning that we have to find ourselves in the story. Like Adam and Eve, you and I have done things that intentionally go against God's best for our lives. Like Moses and Joshua, we have half-heartedly obeyed the Lord's instructions. Like Israel wanting a king to rule over them, we have put our trust in people and in things that we know will never satisfy us. Like the nation of Israel, God has fought to capture our attention through sermons, through pastoral advice, through friends, and through family. And we might have listened for a period of time, but there's a great temptation to come back to what's convenient. Like the Israelites, we too are in exile, waiting for God to make all things new. Like the crowd that followed Jesus, many of us have followed Jesus because of what we think he can offer us. You see, we, like the whole world, have been separated from the goodness of God. That's our story. But God. But God. But God left the splendor of heaven to make his dwelling among us, but God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But God sent Jesus to die the death that we deserve, so that we could spend eternity with him. But God loved you. But God loved you so much that he gave everything to know you personally. And it's because of Jesus that we, like Peter and Andrew, have been invited to come and to see. It's because of Jesus that many of us, like Saul, have had a real encounter with Jesus, and our life has never been the same. It's because of Jesus that we can experience hope and joy and peace on this earth. And it's because of Jesus that many of us are waiting the day when there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death, when we are in the presence of God singing his praises for all eternity. Because of Jesus. And so tonight, I want to invite you. If you've never said yes to follow Jesus, I want to invite you to say yes to him. Maybe you didn't realize that your story is this story. Maybe you didn't realize that you fit in this, but tonight you realized it. I invite you to say yes to follow Jesus. You can fill that out on the connection card, or you can come talk to any of us, any of our staff. We would love to have that conversation with you. And I'm telling you right now, if you say yes to follow Jesus, tomorrow, Christmas is going to be different. And every day from here on out will be different because of Jesus. Or maybe you've already said yes to follow Jesus, but you realize that it's time to come back. Maybe you've drifted a little bit, but you want to come back and rededicate your life to Christ. I invite you to do that. Or if you're interested in learning more about our church, we'd love to have that conversation with you. Now, if you've missed everything that I've said tonight, I don't want you to miss this, because this is the Christmas story right here. The only thing that God has for you is good. That's it. The only thing that God has for you is good. So will you trust Him, and will you follow Him? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day, and thank you for this time that we can come together and we can worship and celebrate you. And Lord, I thank you for every single person that's here in this room and that's watching online. Lord, I specifically pray over our first-time guests tonight. Lord, I pray that they heard the truth tonight, that they heard who you are, and they got a glimpse of how sweet and how kind you are to pursue us and to love us. And so, Lord, I pray that during this Christmas season, that we would make room for you in our hearts, or that we would choose to follow you, and we know that our lives will never be the same. So Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone here. Lord, I pray for more joy and more peace and more love to abound in our lives. So Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the portion of our worship in which we're going to take communion, I want to invite you to pray the prayer of confession with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. This time I want to invite our ushers to come forward as they prepare the elements for communion. And so tonight you will receive communion by intinction if you come here, or you can receive a cup. But the ushers will dismiss you, and you'll come up through the center aisle and return to your seats by the outside aisles. And as they prepare, I want us to engage in this responsive reading together. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God, and if need, go to one another. You can take a second and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
So with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right to be with our thanks and praise.
Father, it is right that we should always and everywhere give you thanks and praise. Only you are God. You created all things and called them good. You made us in your own image. Even though we rebelled against your love, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. Therefore, we join the entire company of heaven and all your people now on earth in worshiping and glorifying you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We thank you, holy Lord God, that you love the world so much, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. The Lord of life came to live among us. He healed and taught, ate with sinners, and won for you a new people by water and the Spirit. We saw his glory, Yet he humbled himself in obedience to your will, freely accepting death on a cross. By dying, he freed us from unending death. By rising from the dead, he gave us eternal life. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he returned thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins." When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we experience anew the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and look forward to his coming and final victory. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We experience anew, most merciful God, the suffering and death, the resurrection of your Son, asking you to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's offering for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here out of love for you and all these gifts. May the Spirit help us know in the breaking of this bread, in the drinking of this wine, the presence of Christ who gave his body and blood for all. And may the Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in service to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your church, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You're all invited to come to the table as the ushers direct you.
each year during the Christmas season, we're reminded that there is no greater joy than the blessings that we've received during Christmas and to give it to others through our gifts, through our presents, through a happy greeting of Merry Christmas. You can make a difference in the lives of others. We're going to be taking up an offering, and this is going to go in two different places. One is typically our Christmas Eve offering goes to local ministries. Those ministries are the Pregnancy Resource Center, the Mercy Multiplied, and Backpack Ministries. If you want to give your regular tithe, please note that on your check or your offering envelope so that we know how to disperse those funds. But any gift you give tonight to support these ministries, we'd like you to know that they're going to stay in the local area and they're going to be providing a great gift to those that are in need. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a season of blessings, of hope, and of peace. And as you have blessed us, you ask us to give to others and to bless others. Through the gifts of that we provide as a tithe or special offerings, we're grateful for the opportunity to give to those gifts because we're giving to others. It's a piece of us, piece of our blessing that we give to others so that they can give to others as well. Thank you for the opportunity to live in this country where we can pray and worship freely and to share our bounty that you have blessed us with. We're thankful for that, and we ask that you bless these offerings to the ministries provided and to support the lives that we can help at this Christmas time. And then we ask all these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
have come to a most special time in worship, the service of light. You were given a candle when you entered the room. As we begin singing Silent Night, the ushers will come forward to light their candles from the altar table and then spread the light, beginning with the front rows. And as your candle is lit, you may spread the light by lighting your neighbor's candle. Let's sing together. Please stand. Go ahead and blow out your candle so I don't have to tell Bill that you burned down the building.
Well, hey, again, we want to thank you so much for being here tonight. We hope that you experience the hope and the love and the light of Christ. If you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you as you exit at the doors. It's a mug. It's a very cute mug. You're going to want to have it. And also, we have devotionals that are written from our staff and some of our people in the church. And so anyone is welcome to grab that. But we invite you to stay connected to Christ through reading and studying His Word. Now, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace, that all may know Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.